Oops. Thanks. All right, I want to welcome everyone this morning. I'm Pastor Cameron, I think, and everybody here and stuff. I've been out for last Sunday and just coming back from a retreat that was down in Southern Cal for a program that I'm doing, so it's good to be back, and just want to welcome everyone. So we've been doing this series in the Book of Psalms, and we have one more Sunday. Pastor Dennis will be back next week to wrap things up. And hopefully you've been getting a sense of, you know, just sort of the nature in which Psalms is really it's really the book of worship in Scripture, and it's a book that really allows us to have words that sometimes we can't muster ourselves when we're in different places in our lives and stuff. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 42 this morning, but really when you step back and think about the whole journey of faith that we are on, you know, regardless of where you're at in that journey, whether you're at sort of the front end and kind of exploring, whether you've been on this journey of faith your whole life, really one of the things that I like the Eugene Peterson, who's the author of The Message, translation of the Bible, one of my favorite translations, a very contemporary kind of version that really kind of gives a lot of fresh perspective on Scripture. So Eugene Peterson, he talks about our faith journey really as a journey of discipleship, and he uses the term a long obedience in the same direction. He has a book by that same title, and he actually kind of took that from Friedrich Nietzsche of all people. I'm not going to get into that necessarily, but I like that phrase, a long obedience in the same direction. And a lot of times when we think about how our journey of faith, you know, we make it efforts to come to church, we do different things in our lives and such, but you know, so often we are, you know, we are in this instant gratification culture. You know, we want things now. We want to respond to things now. We want people to respond to us, you know, whether it's texting or whatever the case may be. And this idea of really having a commitment of being of a long obedience in the same direction and seeing our faith journey as that is, I think it's a really profound way to think about things. And so that's what I've entitled this morning's message. He says this in his impetus for writing The Message. So he actually wrote this book, Long Obedience, like roughly about 10 or 15 years ago. And part of that journey for him was what led him to actually write the Message translation. He started with the Psalms, and so we're going to actually be looking at the Psalms in the Message translation. But he says this. He says, I knew that following Jesus could never develop into a long obedience without a deepening life of prayer, and that the Psalms have always been the primary means by which Christians learn to pray everything they lived and live everything they prayed over the long haul. And this idea over the long haul, you know, this notion of faith being in something that we work at and we grow at and we just really make a commitment to, is something that's really important for all of us to really embody and really embrace. And it's something that's really stuck with me, because our journey of faith really is just that. It's a journey. And I like that notion of a journey that we're on, you know, we're on a path and we're going someplace. And especially in this day and age when we want things so immediately, the reality is that, you know, we have to work at something from the point of coming to faith and getting to know Jesus till really into eternity, till the day that the good Lord calls us home. This idea that we are always working on our faith. We're always working towards growing in our relationship with Christ. And I think often, you know, our perception of the Christian faith and spiritual growth is often that it just kind of just happens. You know, we show up to church, we do all the things that we're kind of accustomed to doing, you know, maybe worshiping, you know, some of us may be pretty disciplined with, say, devotionals or scripture reading or whatever the case may be. We often just feel like it's just something that kind of happens over time. And to some degree it does. And by the grace of God, we do change, but it's not automatic. It is really something that we need to work at. It's really something that we need to put effort into. And often we kind of get tripped up a little bit. It's like, well, you know, is salvation really a works thing? We have to work at our relationship with God. And so I want to just make a distinction, because sometimes we can kind of get a little bit tripped up on that. Dallas Willard, he writes in The Renewing of the Christian Mind, he says, you know, of course we have to be concerned about works righteousness, but it's crucial to realize that grace is not opposed to effort, but to earning. Earning is an attitude, but effort is action. So we take steps in things. Without effort, we would be nowhere. And when you read the New Testament, you see how astonishingly energetic it is. Paul says, take off the old man and put on the new. And there's no suggestion that this is something that's going to be done for you. So it all presumes that, you know, that we want that, that we're inclined to grow in our relationship, in Christ and with God. But so often I think we tend to, you know, we tend to want to live life on our own terms. I mean, that's sort of just how, you know, we as just human nature, we want to live it the way we want to live it. But a lot of ways the Psalms really speak to this journey of faith, this notion that if we really are to live lives that are changing from the inside out, which is our vision statement here at Grace Covenant, the idea that we really are on this journey, that we have to come to the point of really truly embracing our faith journey as something that really, it's going to have its ups and its downs, right? I mean, I remember when I came to faith, kind of a second conversion back in college, and I remember always thinking like, you know, I want my journey of faith really to be this upward trajectory. I want to really just, you know, I envision sort of every day, you know, just little by little, I'm growing in my relationship with God in some way. And that's, you know, it's kind of neat, naive in some ways. I just thought like, you know, just sort of always going to have this upward trajectory towards God. But the reality is life happens, right? And we all go through different things that go in our lives, and we face all sorts of different, you know, obstacles, broken dreams, things that happen in our lives. And we realize, you know, that just, you know, that life is really kind of has ups and downs. You know, we can go through things, we can be in the season of like, you know, God is so good, and all of a sudden, boom, something happens and we're just sort of put into a funk. And that happens all the time. And we sometimes are like surprised that that happens. Like, oh God, why are you allowing this to happen, or whatever the case may be. And so often I think what the Psalms does is Psalms really address over and over, providing us these words and these an ability to kind of express our emotions and our feelings and put to our lips to allow us to be honest before God, regardless of the degree to which we may know Him. And so this morning, Psalm 42 really takes us on that journey, the longing, the tears, the cynicism of the world, the downcastness of our souls that we sometimes experience, our spiritual anguish and turmoil, despite all that we face. We know that we put our utmost trust in Him, that God is going to come through. And so we're going to be looking at that this morning. So I want to invite you to pray together with me as we delve into this morning's psalm passage. Let's pray. So God, I thank you for the journey of faith that we ultimately are on, each and every one of us, Lord. Regardless of where we're at in the journey, Lord, whether we're at the front end of things, Lord, exploring faith, exploring who you are, and just kind of getting to know you, or maybe we've been at that stage for, you know, for some time, just always kind of trying to figure out a little bit more how we can grow and learn more about you. Or maybe some of us have been on this journey for the bulk of our lifetimes, Lord. And so regardless of where we're at, Lord, we just pray that you would just help us to just really have the sense of what it means to be really on that journey of a long obedience in the same direction, Lord. And so I just pray, God, that you would be encouraging us, Lord, that you would be reminding us of just your grace, Lord, that we can make an effort, Lord, towards taking steps towards being proactive in our relationship with you, to grow in you, Lord. And yet we also recognize that you come and you meet us, Lord, by your grace. And so we just pray, God, this morning, Lord, that you would speak through this Psalm 42 that we'll be looking at this morning. So I just pray, God, that you would be encouraging us this morning as well, regardless of where we're at this morning, whether we're facing joys and excitement and just life is good, or whether there's things that we bring before you, Lord, just that cause our heart to ache. We just pray, God, that you would meet us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as I said, I think, you know, when I was in college, you know, I had this firm conviction about, like, you know, I wanted to grow continuously in my relationship with God. I grew up in the church, and I really kind of made a sort of reconversion in college where, I kind of went from sort of, I would say, like, going, like, my first conversion was just, you know, being a churchgoer with my family in a Lutheran church as a kid. And then I started going to an Assemblies of God church, a more charismatic church in high school, and kind of carried over into college. And if you know anything about Lutheranism is kind of a little more high church, a little bit more formal. Assemblies of God, if you're familiar with Assemblies of God, you know, charismatic, you know, they're like lifting up their hands. And I was like, why is it lifting up their hands? That's kind of weird. And I was trying to make sense of all this and stuff, but it was really part of my journey. And so when I got to college, you know, I just said, you know, I want to keep growing and learning something about God. Like each and every day, I was very passionate about my faith in this this kind of reconversion process. But I was also like 18, 19 years old. I was very young. And I realized just, you know, over time, like as I look back over that 30 years of my faith journey, you know, things don't quite go as planned, right? We all have sort of plans and things that we want to aspire towards. But when we look back, we realize, you know, like there's laments, there's regrets that we have. And so certainly this, you know, we try to stay the course, and that's, I think, what God calls us to, but we're going to face all these different obstacles along the way. And I guess my question is, you know, what about you? I mean, to what degree do you feel like you've been able to stay the course in your relationship with God? You know, regardless of where you're at in that journey, to what degree do you see life and faith as really this notion of a long obedience in the same direction? You know, having some sense of consistency, I think, is important. Having different rhythms of grace. Some of you may have very specific spiritual practices, whether it's scripture reading or just making it a point to attend church regularly or whatever those things may be. Those are some of the things, some of the tools that you have to really stay the course. And that's a good thing. That is a blessing. But some of the rest of us, you know, we maybe barely have the bandwidth to really get out of bed sometimes, to catch some of the news that can just be horrific. I mean, I was at this retreat down in Southern California, and, you know, I was taking classes and kind of doing, you know, I was in this retreat center in Malibu, and then when I heard the news about Las Vegas, and it was just like, all of a sudden, I'm just like, really? I mean, I didn't even know how to respond. I mean, I don't know how you responded to something like this, but you're just sort of like, your heart sinks, and you just think like, what is going on in this world? Right? And we all kind of, you know, experience things. And, you know, I'm sure most of us don't have anybody that we directly know that are affected by it, but we are affected by these things. I mean, whether it's as Americans or, and we, this group of folks that I was retreating with, there was a number of people that weren't Americans. There was one guy who was from South Africa, another guy who was from Australia. And they were just saying, you know, like, we grieve with you as Americans. You know, I mean, you know, they're talking about how this is the worst mass incident like in U.S. history after just, what, a few years ago that Orlando took place. And, you know, you don't have to go very far to just look at the news and just realize, ugh. I mean, I don't know how you feel about this. I just sort of like have to kind of shrug my shoulders and I just start weeping, literally. I was just like, I was trying to start my day. It was like super early in the morning, I think, when I got the news. I got like sort of my feet on my phone. I just saw this and I was like, really? And it was just so frustrating and so sad and so different, all these different things that came to mind for me. And so often, you know, I think we see things that happen in the news, let alone in our own lives, and we try to desperately make sense of how and why and where God is present in these things that we see around us. We try to, you know, get a sense of like, you know, that God is present in the things that are going on in this world, and yet there's so much sin and so much brokenness and so much that we see around us that we are actually, you know, part of in some sense. You know, we don't have any direct correlation to Las Vegas necessarily, but we are part of this broken world that we see around us. We can maybe have a sense of like our own kind of our own shortcomings in our own humanity, but you know, our sin and our brokenness is part of this broader equation of how God sees the world. But one of the things that I think I've appreciated about this congregation is that, you know, I think we do have an openness to really explore different things. And in the midst of all this stuff that, you know, we've kind of been doing, and it's very bright up here, but hopefully you can see better. We got the lights and we got the pavement done over the this weekend and stuff, a lot of logistical things and stuff, you know, but I think there's a sense that, you know, our church is open to a lot of things. I think there's, you know, I've been here a little over 10 years now. And so I think most of you, how many have been here for more than 4 years? Okay, more than 6 years, more than 8 years. I think there's only two. I think only Frank and how many years? Like 7 or 8 or something. So I've been here. So I think there's only two people that predate my being here. And I think the reason I say that is because I think there's a sense of like this is what we know as a church. You know, I think we operate, you know, as a small church, and I think we, you know, we can kind of function okay in that setting. I mean, it's not like we want to stay in that space necessarily. And there's some things that we're exploring as a church in terms of, kind of partnering with other churches and doing some different things and stuff. So I want you to, you know, kind of stay tuned and be praying about some things that we're exploring. But I think one of the things that I appreciate is that, you know, we can really be creative in how we pursue God. And one of the things I want to make a plug for this emotionally healthy relationships course that we're going to be starting in a few weeks. So that's going to be on Tuesday evenings. And I know the slide didn't come up when Linda was making the announcements and stuff, but these are some of the things that are really very core to who we are as a church. You know, we do life groups, over the course of the year, usually like one in the spring and one in the fall. And so this is really going to be going to become our life group for this fall. So I want to really encourage you. I think in your bulletins, if you took a bulletin, there was a little card in there. We're going to get some more things online and be telling you more about that. So I just want to make a plug about that starting on the 24th. And as Linda said, you know, we're going to feed you dinner. Everybody's got to eat right. So come Tuesday, be fed at least that first week. Just check it out. check things out. Because really what it is it's a means of helping us to both grow in our relationship with God, but especially grow in our relationship with other people. You know, we all have relationships, and this notion of emotionally healthy relationships, I think, is going to be good for us. But in the meantime, I think as we get back to the book of Psalms and as we wrap things up next week, you know, I just really want to have us enter into this psalm. We're going to be pulling up, let's go ahead and pull up the next slides. I want to have us be reading this whole section all at once. And I want you to get a feel for just how this psalm flows. And then we're going to break it down a little bit and stuff. Because this psalm really is just a kind of a snapshot of sort of how we have the ups and downs of our life. And yet we stay the course. We press in with God, even in the midst of whatever we go through. And so I'm going to go ahead and have us read this. And we'll just, you can follow along with the slides there. So a white tale, and this is again the Message translation, so it's a little bit more of a contemporary translation. A white-tailed deer drinks from the creek. I want to drink, God, deep draughts of God. I'm thirsty for God alive. I wonder, will I ever make it, arrive and drink in God's presence? I'm on a diet of tears, tears for breakfast, tears for supper. All day long, people knock at my door pestering, where is this God of yours? These are the things I go over and over, emptying out the pockets of my life. I was always at the head of the worshiping crowd, right in front, leading them out, eager to arrive and worship, shouting praises, singing thanksgiving, celebrating all of us, God's feast. And yet, why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He'll put a smile on my face. He is my God. When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you, from Jordan's depths to Mount to Hermon's heights, including Mount Mizar. Chaos calls to chaos to the tune of whitewater rapids. Your breaking surf, your thundering breakers, crash and crush me. Then God promises to love me all day, to sing songs all through the night. My life is God's prayer. And sometimes I ask God, my solid rock, God, why did you let me down? Why am I walking around in tears, harassed by enemies? They're out for the kill, these tormentors, with their obscenities, taunting day after day. Where is this God of yours? Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God, and soon I will be praising again. He'll put a smile on my face. He is my God. So in a lot of ways, you know, I think when we hear the words of this psalm, and you know, maybe it's a little bit kind of different, this particular translation, so I would encourage you, you know, either to pull up a different translation either on your phone, or we have an NIV translation in the Pew Bibles, if you want to follow along, to just kind of get a little bit of a different sense of the words of this and stuff. But what we see is really this uneven flow in the psalmist's life, these ups and downs, this reality that, you know, that we all face kind of different aspects of our journey. And I don't know anyone who doesn't ever experience some kind of hardship. And I appreciate, you know, I think Sarah making it a point to pray for Donna. So we don't want to keep you in our prayers, Donna, and your dad's passing. You know, others have faced all sorts of loss over the last couple of years. I know there's a lot of stories here in this church. And I just, you know, I'm not going to get into them all, but there's this sense that, you know, that we have things that happen in our lives. And so how we respond to the stuff of life, to the things that we experience in this life, is really the sense of, you know, what gives us the character that God, and the spiritual fortitude that we have to keep pressing in with God. And Jeremy, let's go back to the first slide, the verses 1-3. A white-tailed deer drinks from the creek. I want to drink God, deep draughts of God. I'm thirsty thirsty for God alive. And this opening stanza, you know, I like the King James Version, which might be familiar, a little bit more familiar to some of you, which is, you know, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. And this idea, this thirst that we innately have, this thirst for God can almost be undetectable at times, because we all need water to survive, and sometimes we don't make it a point to drink. You know, I have my water bottle here, sometimes I get kind of dry mouth when I'm preaching a little bit. It's good water. But we, you know, we don't realize the degree to which we need water just to survive. And sometimes we're like, you know, we only go to get a drink when we're desperately thirsty. But our bodies need water. And that could be the nature of our thirst, as we sense the desire for something cold and refreshing. And this next verse says, I wonder if I'll ever make it and arrive and drink at God's presence. And friends, honestly, the honesty by which we must approach God is really essential, because we have to be honest in how we come before God. And then this next part of this passage says, you know, I'm on a diet of tears, tears for breakfast, tears for supper, tears all day long, people knocking at my door, pestering, where is this God of yours? We don't have to look very far to kind of get that sense that that's really what the world says to us. You know, like, oh, you guys are going to church and that's your thing and stuff. But, you know, people respond to the world in so many different ways, especially these days. You know, it's like, well, I got to make my little online comment and post and stuff to something they don't like. And we see that kind of stuff. And that's the division that we see around us. It's just so pervasive. And especially in our post-Christian cultures, you know, we sense the resistance to God all the time. Like, people turn to things, you know, apart from God, you know, left and right. And heck, you know, we sometimes do that ourselves too, right? You know, we just feel like, you know, I'm gonna have these hobbies or these things these are gonna be the things that bring me life and joy. And we have all these other things that we decide to pursue. But yet often, you know, it might just kind of last for a little bit, you know, maybe have a little bit of joy that it brings for a season or for a time and stuff, but really, you know, it's short-lived often. In the next verses, it says, these are the things that I go over and over, emptying out of the pockets of my life. I was always at the head of the worshiping crowd, right out in front, leading them all, eager to arrive and worship and shout praises and sing thanksgiving, celebrating all of us God's feast. And so the psalmist in this next section, he's essentially saying, you know, hey, I've been going to church all my life. I've been doing all the stuff, the right stuff. And yet, what good has it done for me? I'm still facing hardships. You know, I'm sitting right here in the front row. I'm lifting up my voice to you, God. And yet, what good has that done for me? And so these are the words of the psalmist, really being honest before God in his words here. And so here's a little secret. You know, church is not enough. I mean, maybe that's not a big deal. Maybe that's not a big secret. But again, because it points to the fact that, you know, we need to be proactive in our pursuit of God. And it's not simply about what the church can do for me. I mean, so often in our culture, you know, church is kind of a consumerist thing. Like, well, I like this church because it has these programs or it has this, it can help me do this. And those are good things to pursue on some hand. But if it's really about like what the church can do for me, then there's something that's going to be short-sighted about that. Because no church, regardless of how big or small, is going to provide you with the depth of formation that you need to go beyond the basics of belief. And that's why, you know, I'm making this plug for the the emotionally healthy relationship course that we're going to be doing. But even something like that, it's just beginning to scratch the surface. You know, it's a class that we're going to be doing. We're going to be growing together and getting some content. But really, it's just that what the church can do is provide some tools and some resources and some things that you can then need to put yourself to use in your own daily life. Share a quick story. You know, I'm not someone who likes to shop at all, especially as we anticipate the holidays and stuff. It kind of just gets at me and stuff. I kind of, you know, I can go online and shop on Amazon and stuff. That's a lot easier. I don't like to shop at all, but one of my favorite stores, that said, is Lowe's. How many people like Lowe's? I'm a big Lowe's fan and stuff. And one of the things I like about Lowe's, honestly, is because, you know, even as a kid, I mean, I was very captivated by, you know, what Herb was building and stuff. It's like, oh, those little blocks. I mean, it kind of brings out the kid in me. Like, you know, I love to build things with Legos and with like Lincoln Logs and watching on Friday when the paving truck was getting stuff going. I mean, they had this massive machine. I think some of the people that were setting up for Food Pantry were able to see this, but they had this big grinding machine that was like kind of, like it was literally grinding up all the asphalt and then kind of recycling it and putting it into the truck. And I just took myself back to being a little kid with my Tonka trucks, kind of like playing around with the dirt and stuff. I mean, it's like the little kid has brought out me. These are the reasons maybe I like Lowe's and stuff, because, you know, you have all these tools and you have all these cool things that you can kind of, you know, you can play around with and stuff. And you can have tools for every kind of project. You know, I've got a garage full of various different tools and stuff. You know, but the reality is you have to know how to use those tools, right? I mean, I could get behind the wheel of this cool grinding thing and I see all these controls. I would have no idea what to do, right? So we have to know how to use the tools that we're interested in and just have the right type of tool. Because, like, you know, I couldn't have gone back there and started helping these guys with, like, a screwdriver, right? They needed these big tools and equipment and stuff. Or we couldn't have used the tools that they were using, like these big rollers to kind of level out the asphalt. That couldn't have worked for the landscaping that we did last month in the front. So you have to have the right tools for the right thing. And I think that's one of the reasons, you know, maybe I like Lowe's, because, you know, they have all these kinds of tools. And I think in a lot of ways, that's really what the church can do for each of us. You know, we're provided tools, we're provided things that help us to, you know, we have tools that we have to use on our own. instead of just having people do things for you or having the church do things for you. Because, you know, those tools need to be tried and used and tried on your own. And I may have a garage full of tools, but having the right tool and learning how to use it doesn't mean that we can use it effectively. You know, sometimes I'm trying to do a project and I'm just using the right wrong tool. I'm using a pair of pliers when a wrench would be a little bit easier and stuff. And those of you that are maybe a little bit more handy than I am kind of, you know, probably know what I'm talking about. Because you have to use the right thing to do the job. Otherwise it could take you forever to do something. But the second thing is, you know, there are going to be tools that no church can provide. And so part of our journey of faith is really finding other tools, you know, maybe outside of the church and say, you know, what are some things that are going to help me to grow in my relationship with God that I need to pursue and I need to find, elsewhere too. Finding things to be proactive in your faith journey. Because, you know, when you step back, that is really what a long obedience in the same direction is all about. Because, you know, we're going to face hardships. We're going to face different things in this life. And in verse 5, it says, you know, why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Fix my eyes on God. And soon I will be praising again. He'll put a smile on my face. He is my God. And so the one promise that's highlighted there in yellow, fix my eyes on God, that's the one promise that you can take to the bank, is this, that God will always come through, that he may stretch you a bit, to go through something that you don't really want to go through. But he may not always bail you out immediately. And sometimes we try to make sense of, like, you know, we ask people to pray for us to kind of help us overcome something. But, you know, God allows us to go through different things in our life. But he's always going to come through at the end. And it's impossible to know sort of how long and when that's going to take place. You know, we may go through a season of grieving or shedding tears. God allows sort of these character building moments to grow in us. But this is the way of God. That no matter what, no matter how long we may go through those seasons of our lives, if we fix our eyes on God, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, you'll soon be praising again. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. And the psalmist says the word soon. He says, soon I'll be praising again. But really, that's kind of subjective, right? I mean, soon, things in our culture today, it's like soon is never enough, right? But we can't look for instant fixes. We have to press in. And that's really what that long obedience in the same direction is all about, from now really into eternity. In the next verses, verses 6-8, it says, you know, when my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything that I know of you, from Jordan depths to Hermon Heights, including Mount Mizar. Chaos calls to chaos to the tune of whitewater rapids. Your breaking surf, your thundering breakers crash and crush me. We fix our eyes on Jesus is what we need to do. We fix our eyes on Jesus rather than turn away when everything comes crashing down. And I want you to know that it will. I mean, things will come crashing down in our lives. So I don't want to kind of sugarcoat the reality is that, you know, we face these different hardships and stuff. And so the more we're able to just anticipate that stuff is going to happen, the more we're able to be prepared for it when it finally does. But, you know, there's people that face such incredible hardships, the pain of loss and broken dreams. And rather than moving away from God and just saying, you know, God, you know, why are you having me go through this? You know, we can really press in and turn towards God. Because when we return to this promise of the Psalms, it says, then God promises to love me all day and sing songs all through the night. My life is God's prayer, the psalmist says. My life is God's prayer. One that is raw and that is honest with God. And that's something that we need to really be striving for as well, too, is just being honest before God. You know, sometimes we have to feel like we have to kind of sugarcoat our prayers a little bit. We have to sort of say the right thing when we come before God, especially when we're in a place of frustration. But God needs to hear our laments. God needs to hear our frustration. God needs to hear the things that we wrestle with and we struggle with. It's not like God is going to say, oh, you know, you're not being holy, you're not being spiritual or whatever. God needs us to be honest with him. Amen? Because if we're not, then what's the point? We're just sort of guarding ourselves in some way. But God knows our hearts even better than we know them ourselves. And so God wants us to be honest with us. We need to be honest with us. And so the next section says, you know, sometimes I ask God, my rock solid God, why did you let me down? The psalmist says. And we can say that before God. We can say, you know, God, I feel let down in this particular situation. I feel let down that you didn't get me this job. I feel let down that my finances are difficult. I feel let down that my child's going through some struggles or hardships. And we can say that before God. We can say, why did you let me down? Why am I walking around in tears, harassed by enemies? They're out for the kill, these tormentors with their obscenities, taunting day after day, where is this God of yours? And again, the world around us really says otherwise. It suggests that the solutions that the world looks to are found in other places. But unless we get to the point where the things that we seek and the things that we pursue are only going to provide a temporary joy and a fleeting hope, whether it's in relationships or interests or politics or sports, wherever the case may be, until we get to the point realizing that is not going to do it. Those things are not going to be the things that are going to provide us a way out. We're never going to be fully sold out to the fact that God alone is our strength. And then we return to the cries of the psalmist. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Because the blues will return. And perhaps it's at that point when we experience the blues that we can return to God and we can press in with God. Because the psalms essentially says to do that anyway. It says in the closing verses then, it says, "Fix my eyes on God and soon you will be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He is my God." Friends, are you prepared to enter into a long obedience in the same direction? Are you able to really embrace this notion that, you know, we're in it for the long haul? This is not an instant gratification kind of faith that we follow. Are you in it for the long haul? And in this now culture that we live in, it's a battle to have to proactively fight against. And Eugene Peterson says, you know, there's a great market for religious experience in our world, but there's little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for the long apprenticeship in what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. Because the things that we face in our life, you know, they may bring us unfathomable joy, you know, with our children or our job satisfaction, all these different things, but we're also going to face things that are going to remind us of the depths of our sorrow and the brokenness of this world. Whether that's seeing the things in the news like Las Vegas or natural disasters or wars or rumors of wars or places where there's just a lack of peace, we don't have to look very far outside of ourselves to see that. But friends, do you see it inside of yourselves as well? And I want to end with a prayer and an exhortation from someone who faced incredible hardship, who worked in a very challenging context, and yet someone who found a deep and unsettling distance from God her whole life. And yet she pressed in, and these are the words that she offered. And I want you to pray them with me as I read them. "People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. When you spend years creating, others could destroy it overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good that you do today will often be forgotten, but do good anyway. Give the best that you have, and it will never be enough, but give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway." And so this is a prayer that was found on the wall in Mother Teresa's home in Home for Children in Calcutta. And, you know, we may not be able to, you know, fully kind of be a Mother Teresa in this world, but we can take that long obedience in the same direction through thick and thin, through the circumstances that we face around us, and we can press in. So amen and amen. Let's pray. So Lord, I just pray, God, that you would be just reminding us of the journey of faith that we're all on. That, you know, through ups and downs and thick and thin, Lord, that you call us to a long obedience in the same direction, Lord. And I just thank you, God, that, you know, we can press in and be in it for the long haul, Lord, even though everything around us kind of looks for instant gratification, Lord. And so we just pray, God, that you would encourage us, Lord, that you would allow us to use the Psalms to provide words for us, Lord, when we face those hardships, when we're not sure kind of how to even approach you, Lord. And so we just pray, God, that you would be encouraging us in the times in which we need strength, Lord. Grow us in our character, in our perseverance, Lord, to press in, God, rather than turn away from you. And so we just thank you, Lord, that you are in it with us for the long haul on your end, Lord. And just may we be in it for the long haul on our end as well. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to